welcome to What Is It?
The podcast where we have thoughts,
we have opinions,
and we have questions.
I'm Tracy.
And I'm Beth.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome to another episode of What Is It?
Yep, another one.
Just want to preface, this is a re-record.
Yeah.
So if it feels weird or sounds weird or we sound in any way unnatural, it's because the file was corrupt.
And we have to re-record the whole episode.
So, just such, putting it out there. If it sounds a little like rehearsed or inauthentic, that's why.
we kind of had a trial run.
Yeah.
but yeah, we are actually in a different spot than normal, and we're recording this just a day or two before we're going to release the episode, which isn't normal for us because, as most of you know, we pre-record most of our episodes in advance.
Yeah.
And so typically all of the stuff that we're chit-chatting about is at least a month behind.
Yeah. But this is like now. Yeah.
So we were talking earlier today, one of the things that we have been not following, because at least I don't think either of us watch basketball right now.
No.
The March Madness, and how cool it is that all of the female tournaments are, like, their tickets are selling for like twice as much because it's so much more popular than the men's tournaments right now.
Yeah.
And I'm here for that.
Right. And it really is kind of like the same as like women's soccer, right?
Yeah.
And like how much more popular it is and how much more successful like our women's team is than the men's, and yet we still get paid less.
Right. It's outrageous.
Yeah.
I mean, there's obviously a market for it.
I know, right?
Yeah.
People are obviously into watching women play sports.
Yeah. I laugh in particular because there's one basketball player, and I'm so sorry that I don't know her name.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I don't follow basketball. I know she is brunette, and I mean, I was going to say she wears a white uniform, but that's probably just their, like, away uniform.
Yeah, usually, like, the colors, no, vice versa. Away is usually, like, color, and home is white, I think. I can't remember.
Well, a bunch of frat guys came to one of her games and were, like, making noise, like, every time she, like, had the ball or something like that, or were, like, heckling her. I can't remember exactly what it is. But, like, she's, like, this amazing basketball player, and she was making all these, like, 3 points, like, basket after basket after basket, just, like, owning the other team. And, like, the cameraman just kept, like, she would, like, get a basket, and then it would show them just sitting there in shock of, like, because they were coming, like, that she was overhyped.
Yeah.
And they get there, and their, like, jaws are on the floor.
Yeah.
Like, oh, shit.
You're not.
I love that.
You are so everything.
So oh my gosh, I'm assuming and hopeful that she is also participating in the tournament.
Yeah. Probably, I would imagine. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I think women's sports is, like, getting a lot more, like, airtime lately because of all of, like, the controversy with like the basketball players last year. There was something about somebody making a gesture or something, and I was like, if they were men, you wouldn't even be talking about this,
right?
Like, stop it. but yeah, it's funny because I don't really follow basketball very much now. Like, all I care about is like, are the Lakers in the playoffs? Great. You know, but my family is like a big basketball family. Like, my dad was PE teacher. I mean, he was a teacher of many things, but a PE teacher, and he coached basketball. One of my uncles on all on my dad's side, my mom's side, it's all teachers. But on my dad's side, you know, it, like, his brother-in-law coached basketball, like, for his career.
Mm-hmm.
My uncle's two, like, their two sons both played basketball all through high school into college. One of them is now a coach, like, at, like, a pretty big school.
Yeah.
So, yeah, basketball is, it's just funny, too, because, like, that side of the family is pretty tall.
Yeah.
And then I'm, like, 5'3".
Yeah.
Like, doop, doop, doop.
I've never met anybody else on your mom's side of the family, but she's not very tall either.
No, she's itty-bitty. Her side of the family is pretty itty-bitty.
Yeah.
But my dad's side is
very tall. Like,
yeah, my dad's 6'4". Well, he was when he was his full height.
Yeah. That's so funny. I've only met him in person one time for your graduation.
And he has lost a lot of height as he's gotten
older.
Yeah,
he didn't seem very tall, but he was also sitting most of the time I saw him.
It's so funny because, like, he's like all leg.
Yeah.
And so sitting, I have a super long torso. And so sitting, he and I are the same height, but then you stand up and he's like a foot taller than me.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
But that does make sense why he's not very tall in my mind, because like mm-hmm. I sitting, he just didn't look very tall.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But speaking of women getting paid less to do the same thing as men.
Yeah.
That brings us to our movie that we're talking about today, which is Ghostbusters, Answer the Call, or as I like to call it, The Lady Ghostbusters.
That's what I always call it. I didn't even know it had a name until I was looking up the info, and sometimes it was just Ghostbusters, mm-hmm. but it was also marketed as, Afterlife? Answer the Call.
It's Answer the Call, yeah. Okay. Afterlife is the other one.
And I kept seeing it, and I was like, oh, like, I didn't know it had another name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it is a full, like, reboot. It is not a continuation of the story or anything like that. But it's a reboot that I actually enjoyed.
Because it
put its own spin on it.
Yes.
You know. Ghostbusters Answer the Call was released in 2016, produced by Columbia Pictures, released by Sony Pictures, directed by Paul Feig, who we love and adore. Mm-hmm. Written by Kate Dippold and Paul Feig. Produced by Ivan Reitman, Amy Pascal, and it was starring, I have a cough drop in my mouth still, all these months later. starring Melissa McCarthy, Kristen Wiig, Kate McKinnon, Leslie Jones, Charles Dance, a.k.a. Tywin Lannister, Michael K. Williams, and Chris Hemsworth, who was so good.
He was.
As good as Kate McKinnon, Kristen Wiig, yes. Melissa, like these... as good as all the women, like these comedic powerhouses.
Yeah.
Like, as good.
He's a funny guy.
He's so funny. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh. I think, like, I don't know. I just.
We'll talk more about him. I love him in
this. Yeah, we'll talk more about it. So, to summarize, after years of keeping her prior research on the paranormal hidden, physicist Erin Gilbert, played by Kristen Wiig, discovers the book she wrote with former friend and paranormal researcher Abby Yates, played by Melissa McCarthy, has been published. Without her consent, without her knowledge, any of it.
Surprise!
Haha. Here's your nerdy book that you wrote. And I was just going to add that, like, she's also, like, currently a professor in, like, a straight-laced institution where they are, like, very, they are frowning upon anything about the paranormal.
Yes.
So that's part of her dilemma. When strange apparitions appear in Manhattan, Gilbert and Yates turn to engineer Gillian Holtzman, Kate McKinnon, for help. Also joining the team is Patty Tolan, Leslie Jones, a lifelong New Yorker who knows the city inside and out. Armed with proton packs and plenty of attitude, the four women prepare for an epic battle as more than 1,000 mischievous ghouls descend on Times Square. You can watch it on Amazon Prime, AMC Plus, and Philo subscriptions, Philo. I'm not sure which.
Look, I just copied it off the internet.
I think it's Philo. I would imagine it's Philo, right? Because, or I don't know. Anyway, plus several others to rent or with premium subscriptions.
Yeah.
So I first saw it at a friend's house. We were just like getting together for like dinner or drinks or something, and they were talking about it, and I was like, oh yeah, I've never seen it, because of all the fanboys, it got such, like, a bad rap. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I just didn't even think about it. And I had wanted to see it, but then, like, the reviews and stuff were so bad that I was just like, oh, never mind, maybe it's, like, missable. Mm-hmm. And then I just never thought about it, you know? I didn't see it in the theaters, and then I never, like, rented it or streamed it or anything, because mm-hmm. it was just never, like, top of mind. Not, like, because I was like, oh, I don't want to watch it, but it was just, like, I never really thought about it. Mm-hmm. And so I was over at this friend's house, and... with a bunch of us, and they were all like, oh my gosh, you have to see it. It's so good. It's so good. It's so good. And I was like, okay, we'll watch Ghostbusters, I guess. And it was so good. And so it was just one of those things where I was like, oh, I actually love this movie.
Yeah.
I'm so glad we watched it, you know. And it's one of those friends who, like, works in diversity and is feminist. And, like, you know, so
yeah.
It was one of those things where it was just like, okay, I'll, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I first watched it. I know I didn't see it in the theater, but me and my husband probably waited until it was streaming and then immediately watched it then because I saw it pretty early. I saw mm-hmm. it a long time ago. I hadn't seen it in a long time when mm-hmm. I rewatched it recently. So I did rewatch it recently. And I was excited for it. Like, I was like, I very often don't, like, if I'm excited about it, I'm excited about it. I don't mm-hmm. care if anybody else is excited about it.
Yeah.
Or if they say it's awful, like, I'm like, no, I... I love an all-woman Ghostbusters. This sounds fun. And I love that cast. Like, I love all four of those women are incredible, and I love them. Anyway, so I rewatched it recently, and I'll read off some of my notes. Because I had a little more of a bottle of wine than I intended to when I sat down and watched it. And like
I feel like David Beckham in the meme with Victoria Beckham when it's like, be honest.
Yeah. It was like 3/4 of a bottle, but I'm also 4'11", so that hits me pretty hard, especially when I like down it right before dinner, before my stomach is full. And drunk Beth and sober Beth are not the same person.
No. Completely entirely different people.
Both great people.
Yeah.
Like, drunk Beth is very, she loves you. She wants to hug you and kiss you and, like, be your best friend. She cannot keep any of your secrets.
No. And she only remembers the secrets that you asked her not to tell anyone for some reason.
Who knows?
I don't know.
There's not a lot of logic to drunk Beth either.
No.
As we can tell by my notes from watching the so I watched, like, probably, like, half of it. And then I fell asleep, woke up, put it away, went to bed, and then I rewatched like a good chunk that I had slept through the next day. But my notes include first my cast list started with Paul Feig ! listed the four women, and then I put Chris something nerdy Thor.
I mean, in all fairness, I will give you there are like 11-1. Hollywood Chris's.
And I could not remember which Chris this was. I just knew it was Thor. But he was nerdy in this one with his glasses that didn't have any lenses.
Oh my God, I love that part when he's like scratching his face.
Sticks his finger through the lens.
Like, oh, well, they were getting dirty, so I just took the lenses out.
And then my notes said, oh, I forgot about nerdy Thor. Okay, I guess his name is Kevin. Hi, Stuart, because the guy that plays the character of Stuart in Mad TV popped on the screen. Her little thing looks like those spinny toys that you get at an amusement park. And oh shit, I fell asleep. Because apparently when I woke up,
you realized.
I got up and then I wrote that one little note and then went to bed.
Are you ready for my notes?
Yeah.
I mean, I was sober watching it. I just don't take very good notes. My notes are enslaving elephants and an audiobook. But I can read. Hello, Tywin Lannister. And that's it. Those are my notes.
Oh, so thoughtful. I love it.
I know. So good. But back to the movie.
Yeah.
Our question is, Ghostbusters doesn't have an overtly feminist message, but is it feminist? And I think that's the thing about art, right? Like, sometimes things are only the way they are in retrospect.
Yeah.
You know? But I think it's, for me, it can be because it's, like, it's still about women, like, doing things without, and it's not, and I like that it's not about, like, in the face of oppression. It's not this struggle story and overcoming this insurmountable struggle. Like, there's a little bit of, like, prickish things, like, with the Bill Murray character.
Sure.
But, like, there's not an overt, like, the city isn't against them because they're women. The city is against them because they don't understand what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, much like in the first one.
Right. My first coherent thought was, what I like best about the movie is it isn't about them overcoming sexism, even as scientists.
Right.
It's just about overcoming the belief of the paranormal.
Yes.
It's exactly the same struggle that, like I said, like, the men has struggled with.
Yeah.
Of like, no, like, this is real, and it's not about, like, no,
cats,
like,
cats and dogs living together.
Yeah.
Even
in the beginning when Kristen Wiig's character, Erin, is, you know, talking to, like, her dean and things like that, it's never an issue about the fact that she's a woman scientist.
No.
And that she needs to overcome that. It's just like, you seem to believe in ghosts, and we're not for that.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And that's what I really like about it, right? And it never becomes about gender, really.
Yeah.
Even with, like, the Kevin character. Mm-hmm. It's never that he's a man. It's just that he's a himbo.
Yeah.
And I love that also, I love that nobody seems to notice that he's hot except Kristen Wiig.
Right.
Like,
okay, but what's a himbo?
Oh, we talked about this
in our
original recording.
Himbo was a new term for me.
Yes. himbo is like male bimbo, mm-hmm. right? Like good looking, friendly, you know, probably like a nice person, but just mm-hmm. not very bright, but mm-hmm. very good looking. So you can put that in your...
My definitionary?
Yes.
That was a new term that Tracy learned from me.
Yes.
So me and my friends, we thought it should be called a definitionary because it's full of definitions of words.
Yeah.
And you go to it to look up a definition.
Yeah.
I did concede that, like, yes,
there is
diction in
it. Well, because I do want to know about the etymology of the word dictionary now.
Right.
Like, did it used to just be a list of words and their pronunciations?
Right.
Because...
And then we added the definitions later. And then we added the
definitions of words later.
Yeah.
But it was just funny when you said the first time, very, very first time, mm-hmm. hours ago, when you said definitionary, I was like, does she mean dictionary? But definitionary is actually a little more precise. But, right? Like, I think she means it.
Yeah.
Is there not a dictionary? Is a definitionary a thing?
Yeah. So in my head, anytime I learn, like, a new word or term,
yeah.
I always think to myself, like, add it to my definitionary.
Oh, man. I love, like, weird things that brains do.
Right.
You know. I'm always just like, what's the etymology of the word? Where does it come from? How does it, you know? But there's also, it's so funny because the last time we talked about this too, but like there's a meme out there that's like, it's like there's three things that a guy can be. And it's like, I mean, not the only three things that a guy can be, but like hot, athletic, good looking guy are usually like, they're either like a jock or a something. And it's like, to be a jock, you have to be like good looking and athletic. To be something, whatever the third one is, I can't remember. It's like you have to be like good looking and something else. But to be a himbo, you have to be like really good looking, but really just a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's kind of,
aww.
I mean, Kevin's not really a nice guy, but
he's not an unnice guy. He's not a problematic guy.
He's a little entitled.
Sure. Yeah. Yep.
But yeah. But it feels so unnatural saying it all again.
I know. Well, and it was like, what did I say?
Right.
Do I want to say it again?
But yeah.
I don't know.
But I do. But what I love about the movie, that it is not about relationships. Mm-hmm. Like the flirtate, like the one-sided flirtation of Kristen Wiig and Kevin, you know, Aaron and Kevin, like never goes anywhere. It's not about that. It's just like, oh, when he's around, she's like, oh, you're so handsome.
Yeah.
Like you're hired, you know? And then it's like, but then she's back to work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And like it is, and we did talk about this, and I want to make sure we bring it up again, is that it's not about the romantic, it's about the friendships.
Yes.
And like those are the relationships that are focused on, particularly between Kristen Wiig and Melissa McCarthy's characters.
Yes. And I love that, like, at the end of it all, like they had their differences, they had their moments, and then it's like, and you see it a couple of times, I think, you mm-hmm. know, you see it when they realize, like, oh, these paranormal things really are happening in this house, right?
They and she instantly so flips,
and it's so excited, and it's like, yes, we're doing this! And then, like, at the end, you know, like, they've had their differences, whatever, but then, like, Melissa McCarthy's character gets, like, Abby gets sucked into, like, the portal to wherever, mm-hmm. and, like, Kristen Wiig's like, oh, guess I'm tying something on and diving in after you. Like, you know, there's not even a thought of, like, what do we do? It's just like, go. That's my friend, you know? And I really loved all of that.
Yeah, it was fun. And I liked the interplay between all four of the women.
Mm-hmm.
And I especially liked how it was four such different women and how they all kind of, they were so intelligent
mm-hmm.
and smart. And like, sure, like, Aaron and Abby and even Jillian are much more like scientific and academically focused. But mm-hmm. then you bring in Leslie's character, Patty, who just brings in something so different and so grounding
mm-hmm.
to these three, like kind of like, you know,
mm-hmm.
they kind of go off on this like almost like gibberish talk of academics and paranormal mm-hmm. and blah, blah, blah. And Holtz is talking about like photons and like crazy stuff. And then you've got like Patty, who's just like such a grounding character, and like you had brought up earlier about how it's funny because she's related to Winston, who's that same kind of grounding character in the original.
I love that he comes back as her uncle, which he's not Winston in the in this one, but like I just love that, like that's how he came back as like her uncle, you know. Nice little hat tip.
I did like all of the cameos.
It was really, I liked them too, they were pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But We missed like the whole like I'm just thinking about all the things that we talked about in the when we originally recorded, which was so like but it's like talking about like the new Ghostbusters, like new ones that are coming out.
And I didn't even know we had talked about it. I didn't know or remember that there was one with Paul Rudd.
Yeah. So there's Ghostbusters Afterlife. It's so funny because it's like it's coming out. It came out this weekend, like while we're recording. It's like it's out now. It came out on Friday night or Thursday night, like late Thursday, early Friday, whatever. And it's the second one with Paul Rudd. And, but Afterlife I liked too, because it was just like, it was what it was supposed to be. It was nobody's best movie. You know what I mean? But it was just, it was very sweet and like a cute little like button on some of the stuff. And it's just like this next generation of Ghostbuster family, you know?
And I mean, like, look, I'll watch pretty much anything with Paul Rudd, and like, stay tuned next week because we're going to be talking about him again.
Yes.
but I had mentioned this earlier, and I think it's just so true, is I think when that movie came out, it wasn't long after the Lady Ghostbuster that we're talking about now. And I was so mad at how much negative reception that this Ghostbusters got because of that. Oh, it's like, oh, they're just, you know, just putting a bunch of women in men's roles, like, oh, it's not creative, and you're just, it, and I was so mad about it, and I loved the movie, and I don't think it got a fair reception.
No.
And then they come up, it's like almost like they're like, oh, well, that one wasn't good enough, to, like, don't worry, we'll fix it with men again.
Yeah.
And I got so irritated that I probably just refused to watch it and then forgot it existed.
Yeah.
And now here we are. Now I'll probably give it a go.
Yeah.
Look, people have given them a fair shot, I'll give them the same fair shot that they never afforded us.
I watched it, I think, on the airplane. Like,
oh,
going somewhere. So I didn't watch it like in the theaters or when it came out or anything. I watched it on a plane.
I wonder if my husband watched it.
I don't know.
He very rarely misses that kind of movie.
Yeah. I don't know.
I guess I'll find out when I get home.
I'm sure you will. If you remember to ask him.
That could go either way.
What were some of the other things we talked about? Oh, we talked about, like, just, like, the brilliance of Chris Hemsworth and how, you know, it's like the Margot Robbie effect, right?
Yes.
Like, because they're both so good-looking, and they make it look so easy. Mm-hmm. Like, people forget that they're actually really good at their jobs. And, like, his comedic timing in this and his just, like, delivery and all of it is so good.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to overlook because it's just like, oh, he's just himbo Chris Hemsworth.
Right. Well, and I think, too, like, thinking about him as Thor in particular, I think, and I'm guilty of this, too, like, people think that that's just him being himself. That he's just so naturally Thor because he's just, like, big brute, like, you know, guy's guy, kind of like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, who's kind of funny.
But really, he's just a good actor.
Yeah.
He's really good at playing Thor.
Yeah.
But I really don't think, but then you see
and there is a little of that, you know, that natural charisma and, like, that energy of his. Yeah. But, like, it's the timing and the delivery that people don't understand how hard it is.
Well, and I think that's why I liked the Thor movies so much better than some of the other Marvel movies, is because it was funnier.
Yeah.
Like, his movies were funnier because there was the little, like, the way he delivered these, like, one-liners and things like that. Like, it was just funny.
Yeah.
And, like, he's just funny in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
Thor.
Sorry, Chris Hemsworth, that I wrote you down as Chris something.
Chris something nerdy Thor.
It was so good, though, but I couldn't remember in the moment.
Yeah, but, I mean, I think, you know, it's what I think makes it feminist is that it's just a story about women.
Yeah.
Womening.
Yeah. One of my thoughts that I had is it's not a great cinematic achievement, and I don't think it was trying to be.
No.
That it's funny, it shows women as the heroes, the smart ones, the central characters. And at its heart, what I think makes it feminist is it doesn't have to be about feminism to be feminist. Then it's just a great representation that, you know, kids of all, you know, all walks of life, all backgrounds, you know, can have, especially little girls, can have this representation to see of, like, I could be a Ghostbuster.
Yeah. Well, and we
thoughts that they might not have had otherwise.
Yeah. And it's like, I went and saw an Alvin Ailey performance last week, and And if you don't know who they are, it's a black dance company. Mm-hmm. And watching that performance, it was, and a friend of and I were talking about it afterwards, and just talking about how, like, how important it is. And because I was saying, like, this is the kind of art that we need to be supporting, and, like, mm-hmm. And I work in a performing arts center, and, like, this is the kind of art that I want to see, you know, not just, you know, classical ballet. I want right. to see all different kinds of dance, and Alvin Ailey is not is a lot more mainstream now than mm-hmm. it was, but, you know, I want more of the avant-garde art. I want more diversity in my mm-hmm. art. I want more representation. And because if you don't see black ballerinas, how do you know that you can be one?
Right.
As a black child, you know yeah. what I mean? And it's the same, like, this is like a totally different kind of conversation, right? Like, because the issues of race are different from the issues of gender. But, like, if you don't see Lady yeah. Ghostbusters, how does any little girl know that she can be, like, that is something that she can do, is, like, right. play a Ghostbuster in a movie later as she grows up and becomes an actor, right?
Exactly.
Like, it's the importance of superheroes. It's the importance of Black Widow and Wonder Woman, and, like, mm-hmm. why are those the only two that I can think of? You yeah. know what I mean? When there are, like, 98 men.
Yeah. And I do think it's a very similar conversation, because it's all intersectional, mm-hmm. you know? And that's why it was so important that I think to have a character like Leslie.
Yeah.
Or an actress like Leslie in the role. Like, yeah. if it was just four white women, like, what are we serving? Who yeah. are we serving?
Exactly.
Only ourselves as white women.
Yeah.
Or myself as a white woman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's important to show the range.
Yeah. Next so time, that, more diversity.
Yes. We could have used, you know.
Yeah. There's no reason that any of them had to be a particular race.
Exactly.
Which is also the point of the conversation, I think, that people of color, people with different yeah. disabilities, you know, that we all want to have. Like, does it matter to the character?
Yes.
If it doesn't, then I should be able to play it, too.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
It should, white is not the default, able-bodied yeah. is not the default, male is not the default. And I think that that's the importance of yeah. the conversation, right?
And I think, and, like, and the fact that, like, and we keep saying it, is, like, the fact that it is not about the struggle. It is not about this, mm-hmm. like, feminist struggle to, like, overcome the patriarchy or misogyny and things like that.
Yeah.
They just get, they're nobody questions that they're scientists.
No.
They just are.
Yes.
And it's just, at its heart, it's just, like, a fun, silly movie. And mm-hmm. shouldn't, you know, girls and kids and people of all, you know,
yeah.
of all backgrounds and everything mm-hmm. have something just fun and silly that yeah. they can just watch and enjoy yeah. and see themselves in.
Yes. And I think that, again, going back to, like, I mean, Paul Feig is not female, but one of the writers is. And the fact that, like, he does write such incredible female characters
yeah.
anyway. But the more diversity you have in the room, writer's room, the better,
mm-hmm.
you know, because yeah. that's how you get an authentic story.
Yes.
Like, I cannot write an authentic white story. I don't mm-hmm. know. I mean, I could probably get pretty close being adopted, but, like, yeah. you know what I mean? Like, I can't write what it's like to walk through the world. And not that we should only be writing stories about ourselves and, like, limiting and blah, blah, blah. But we have to start, we have to do better yes. first before yeah. we can go back.
Yes, exactly. Well, and it's yeah. like there are some stories that need to be told by somebody who lived that mm-hmm. that life, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we talked about it in Bridgerton, mm-hmm. that writer, Julia Quinn, like, she will only ever write white characters because what right does she have to tell the story of a black character
yeah.
or an Asian character mm-hmm. or even a male character? Well, you know, obviously she has male characters, so let me back that up a little bit, but you
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah, it's you know? Just, it's the idea of, like, I don't want to limit art and artists mm-hmm. to say that you can only do what you've experienced, but there are not enough people having the experiences doing the storytelling.
Yeah.
So we need to get that more equitable
yeah.
first before we can say, like, yes, now you are welcome to tell yeah. a story that's not about you.
Yeah.
You know what I
so
mean?
So instead of trying to, like, take that story and tell it yourself, like, the way Julia shares constantly, like, oh, you should check out this black author who writes these. These are really mm-hmm. great. You should check out this author. Like, she talks about, like, Christina Milian and stuff mm-hmm. like that. Like, there's other, like, there are people telling these stories. Like, you just have to read them and find them and let yeah. me help you. And, like, let's lift up those voices until we're all, you know,
yeah.
at that level. And that not at that level, but, like,
yeah,
all in the same prominence and in at the table
having
together.
The same opportunity, the same, yeah.
yeah. But, yeah, so yeah. taking it back to the question, like, yes, it's feminist.
Yeah.
It's not trying to be.
but it doesn't need to try to be, like, is it, it's like that question of, like, is the world this thing that we're, you know, is the, that universe this thing? And then this is how we perceive, you know, it's like the separation of, like, it's not necessarily, like, a feminist story.
Yeah.
But it but can it be feminist. A feminist work. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I liked it.
And I like that they live in a society that doesn't question that they're scientists.
For sure. And it does pass the Bechdel test.
Yeah.
Good on it.
Talking about ghosts. Yeah. I like that there was no, like, real, like, love story, you know?
No,
there
exactly.
was no great sweeping romance. There was none of the problems that we
yeah.
had.
Yeah. Well, and again, it goes back to, like, the focus was on their relationship with each other yeah. as friends.
And their and work. Colleagues. And their work. Yes. You know?
Yeah.
Again, more women writers. Mm-hmm. And directors and producers and everything.
And cinematographers and
yeah, all of it. Editors,
costumers,
all it.
And
all of it. Yeah,
all of the things.
Yeah. Well, thanks yeah. for joining us.
Yeah. Check us out on App It Is It Pod at on all the socials, mostly Instagram.
Yeah. And hit us up on Patreon if you yeah. want to support us even further. We've got definitely bonus episodes, some behind the scenes things, and it's pretty. Chill investment level.
Yeah. We'd love to have more community involvement, more feedback. Yeah. So
definitely
share your thoughts.
Let us know what you think. We yeah. want it. We want to know. We want to know on social media.
Yeah.
Other people want to know what you think too.
Yeah.
So,
but yeah. So yeah, continue. Please continue to share your thoughts, your opinions, and your questions.
Yeah. And we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
But Is It Podcast is produced by Tracy Muller and Beth Hofelt.
The artwork is by Anna Apperson.
And music by Devin Wall.